Welcome to Top Hill Recording Podcast, a podcast where we ask a band, artist, act, someone to come on, do some original music for us, generally four songs. We sit down, we have a talk. Tonight, our special, special guest, creators of The Fuzzy Pig, also what they say on their thing, they walk a fine line between stupid and clever, which is not true. What we've learned already today is that what they do is they create a vibe. This three-piece fills up a ton of space, rhythmically beautiful, definitely play together, but what they really, really do is create a vibe in the room. They create an atmosphere with their music, and they create scenes. They paint pictures, not only lyrically, but with what they do on their on the music end of things. Tonight, our guest, Fuzztration. Yeah.
love you like hard rain. Baby, thought you were the one. Going through like hurricane. Honey, before I knew you belong. Hard rain, hard rain.
everyone to clap for y'all.
Howdy.
How's it going, guys? How y'all doing tonight?
Pretty good. I thought you were going to say, like, it was not a fine line between the stupidity. Pretty sloppy, yeah. That's what I was thinking.
That's a good Spinal Tap reference.
That was really nice.
Appreciate that, yeah.
Yeah, we got a Spinal Tap poster in the band room. Amen. It kind of sets the tone for what we're trying to do.
Honestly, these guys were in here, and I don't know if they heard me, but I started just cracking up when I read that. I was in there reading, and I just started laughing out loud. And it was like a 30-second. I needed it, really. But I just thought how it was hilarious. And then, you know, you guys walk in and you really do bring a vibe with you. You know, there's a funness that comes with the three of you guys when you walk into a room, when you show up on a spot, and then when you create music. I mean, that's totally what I got.
We've been chilling for a long time tonight, just hanging out, and you all are just like, you are just a vibe, like the three of you together. That's one of my favorite things doing this, is like we meet bands every week and there's always different dynamics in a band, and there's some bands that you can tell are just like friends, and you all are like obviously very tight. Yeah, just cool dudes. So it always makes it a little easier hang too.
I mean, that's why we play music. It's fun.
Yeah, fun. And
well, you know what I've definitely. Girls.
Yeah, maybe.
But you guys definitely do a lot more than that, especially in the community, which we'll get into as we go along. You know, we'll talk about Fuzzy Pig and the how in the world that came about and where it is now.
That's an interesting story.
Yeah, that is an interesting story.
We got a lot of interesting stories.
We'll get there. Believe me, we'll get there, because, like I said, man, you guys are a lot more than just a band. You know, you guys create something. But let's talk about the music first, you know, because listening to what you have available and what you did tonight feels different. You know, there's I don't know if it's more time together or what, but it was so clean, and you guys are totally like on the same page. And it's hard. Earl and I talk a lot, and Spencer a lot, about how hard it is for a three-piece to do what you guys do. And it's not only fill up space, but you also create space for each other. You know, not only with the musical gymnastics that you all do with instrumentation, you know, everybody seems to play a little bit of everything. So it is interesting to see how that dynamic is with a three-piece. So I guess we can start there. First, let's just go back and start how you guys got together as a group, as friends. How in the world did we get to the point where frustration became a thing?
Eric, you want to take that?
Yeah.
Sure. All right. So me and Ryan, he's like 2 years older than us. So he was in school like 2 years older, but me and Ryan were in the same age.
And they went to North.
Yeah. So we were in a band in high school called Downshift Dilemma together, me and Ryan were. And once he ended up going off to the Air Force and everything, and once he got back, he actually came back for a vacation one time, and I grabbed Matt and I was like, hey, we want to play music together. And this was like 2015 or 16.
15.
Yeah, 15. And I was like, hey. And so I went over to the house, and I showed him every song for like an hour, and we played through each one. And then he went over there and we had our first show that we didn't know was going to end up being Frustration.
Yeah.
But we played together.
It was his sister's graduation party, and we didn't know.
High school or college? High school?
High school.
Yeah. All right, so are we both playing guitars?
No.
Oh, it was him.
I was drumming.
This was full band.
Like, yeah, yeah. This was actually our first Frustration without knowing it was Frustration.
But we didn't know it was just playing his sister's graduation.
This was the graduation party band.
And there were some moments that it was definitely not like it is today.
It was just a jam.
But there were some moments where we did some stuff that it really connected. And we kind of remembered that. And so when he got back from the Air Force, we just started playing music together, and, you know, like, we were like, man, that was really cool. What if we got together? We actually had another guy in the band, Abe Roque, when we started. Great guitar player. But then he ended up leaving, and we ended up just becoming a three-piece.
Like,
and
let's try this on our own. Yeah, three people.
Yeah, we kind of had a mission statement when we started, and this is what we tell people what kind of band we are. We are kind of that late 60s through the 70s, like, classic rock band, as in we are open to doing any genre style, but we have a mission statement of being a groove band. We want to, like, make you feel a vibe and a groove in whatever we do, but we're open to doing any type of genre or any type of thing as long as it's in our style. And that was kind of the mindset that we had going into this band. And then we actually did our first show 2020, literally like the day before or 2 days before COVID started. We played our first show together as Frustration.
It was crazy, yeah. And I've known Eric for a long time. Like his cousin and I were good friends in high school, and I got to know him, actually his dad before even him, Todd Rhodes, RIP, real legend.
Which we will talk about.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about. But I was like, who is this guy? And then I got to know Eric through his cousin, and we were just friends. We'd go to his house and play video games and do other things and just play guitar in his room and just generally be dorks together. And then I was in a different band. And then when Ryan came back from the Air Force for real, and we'd already had that jam, it's like, I think you talked to me. It's like, let's do this, because my other band was kind of winding down a little bit at the time. It's like, let's do this for real. We've been friends for so long. And I didn't really know Ryan at all, but other than that one time.
I didn't know Matt at all.
Now I know too much. Probably right back at me too. But it became friendship. We were all working at the same factory together too when he got back. So,
you know, and that's where, like, we were saying about like L-Nop and stuff. We would get off work and we go drink a lot of alcohol and then go jam. And we wrote a lot of songs like that first year.
Yeah, just and jamming. Just, you know, you don't have any songs built up yet, so you don't have to always be prepping for shows, and you can just kind of hang out and let it go free and easy. Sometimes I do miss those because you're always looking forward to the next thing. It's sometimes harder to find the time to just be friends in a room with no obligations, you know, but I still feel the same way about these fellas, obviously, but time can be a little bit, you know.
Yeah, it seems like anytime we're together and we just start jamming, like, there's going to be some stuff coming out. Yeah. Like, it's just, that's how we write. Like, we want to be a band. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's the difference between, like, if you're a single artist with a group of people playing with you, it's like your thing. But true bands, I feel like, can jam together and create something that is an influence of every member of the band.
We bring in individual compositions sometimes, but like they all get filtered through. And honestly, our favorite way to write is just we all start playing together and whatever happens, happens.
Do you find when you bring in a composition, even if you feel like, hey, this is pretty complete, it seems like you would be open and malleable enough to go, well, what do you think? And then does that change? Do you find a lot of times when you do have something that where you go, hey, here's this idea, I think it's pretty done, and then you get together, does that shift? Is there a change in that? Does that does the dynamic of what you guys bring together and create when you're in that room make that something different than maybe you thought it was going to be when you put it together? That goes for everybody.
I'd say 100%. I mean,
to be the one, right?
To be the one. That last song I played on guitar, I wrote that on like lunch break, and I went and sent my truck.
Going to be the one to clock out would be pretty awesome.
Yeah,
right? I went and sent my
truck on lunch break, and I had a little cool Dan Electro, and I just hit that riff like first thing, and then I matched the chords up with it. I'm like, oh, that's cool, and then I went to practice that night. I was like, check it out, guys, and it was a song without the lyrics in the first day.
I came up with that kind of bass riff on the verse, and then Eric, like, that put him on the drum set, you know, right off, and we like to swap around, and he just starts doing these kind of Dio, like, screams. I'm like, okay, this is coming together. I don't know what this was, but, like, it's better for being filtered through the three of us, you know, sure.
Yeah, and definitely when there are songs that, there's a few different songs, like Hard Rain, we played that tonight. That was completely done by Matt. That was written by him before the band started. But anytime that we do have one that me or him or Ryan wrote solo, once you start playing it in the band, you realize there's like your solo version of the song, and then there's the Frustration version of the song, and they are different. There are things that you incorporate because you, like we said, you want the band to be the number one thing, and that means all three people need influence, because if everyone in the band isn't really adding to it, then I don't feel like you're a true, like, band. Like, you really, like, your sound needs to come from everybody having a contributing factor and being that thing.
Yeah.
That's what makes you, you.
Totally makes sense. Well, I think, you know, it's an investment by everybody, you know, it's a buy-in. Yes.
And we're very open to like each other's ideas and like,
you gotta be willing to compromise.
No one takes them personal when we're, you know,
there's
a suggestion or this and that. Like we do that a lot, but we've been doing it for over 5 years now. So like, you know, it just works. So there's no hurt feelings. We just kind of work with ideas. We don't like it, scrap it. You know, we just keep trying things.
And we sometimes do some other stuff too. So if something's not working in here, it's like, well, you know, you can always do that another place. But mostly if we like not all the material I write, I think is frustration stuff.
Perfect. Dude, you read my mind. You totally looked at me, knew you.
That's why he keeps us on the rails. Without Eric, we kind of think like the band dynamic is like Trailer Park Boys, two Ricky, but it's like there's no Julian. It's two Rickies and a Bubbles. You know,
it's not wrong.
I mean, it's kind of, it is what it is. You know, I've accepted it.
That's great. That's so funny.
What was I talking about? I gotta go speak.
Eric's the glue.
Eric is the glue, man.
It's Eric's birthday.
It is Eric's 30th birthday.
Brother,
huh? That's a big birthday, man.
What is it?
30th.
Yeah. 30th.
Let's raise a cheers.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. 30th year on Earth, man.
Absolutely.
Happy birthday, dude. Thank you for spending it with us. We really appreciate it.
Honestly, it's been really good. I've really enjoyed it.
Man. So, since it's your birthday, you get to be the one, because I do want to kind of dive into you a little bit. You know, I think both these guys, like they said, you're kind of the glue. You played every instrument, so I'm assuming that you have, you know, you also went to the Air Force, so you have...
No, he went to the Air Force.
Yep. Okay. All right, even better. Because it takes away the structure part. That's why I'm like, where's the structure coming from?
Regimented living is not something we do well.
So, you know, I guess the really want to kind of dive into talking about your musical background because, you know, we mentioned your dad, Todd, who was, you know, let's talk about him a little bit.
Right.
And talk about just kind of what he did in the scene growing up because he was a big part, right, around the scene around here. So let's just give a little shout out and nod to your pop for a second and talk about him.
All right, yeah.
Tell us a little bit about his influence for you as a musician and where it started that spark and where it led you. You know?
He started... I mean, they said we moved actually to Nashville for him to pursue a thing when I was 2 weeks old, Nashville, Tennessee. And when we went down there, he said on the way to Nashville that I was singing Running with the Devil, like coming along with it in the backseat at 2 weeks old. So he already was like ready for me to be a singer. But fast forward to like when I was like five, he was in a band called Stepping Stone that was just a great band.
Awesome band.
Yeah, but he was in that band and I remember going and watching him for my birthday, like fifth, sixth birthday or whatever, going and watching him play because they were at a place you could have kids. And just being able to see him up there, and he had such a great voice and stage presence and just knew how to do everything. He taught me how to play guitar. Just honestly, most of my musical influence, especially my singing and stuff, I have a very similar style to him just because I thought he really was a truly great singer. And throughout school, he ended up buying a BR-1600 and ended up like making a couple different albums and just going through all that different stuff. And he always had advice for us. Anytime we would be doing something musical, he would be out there supporting, taking pictures. He would talk to you, give you advice, you know, just whatever you needed. He was always there for it. And so when we started, Frustration, he was just really into it and really there for us. And I mean, we do Call the Raven, which is one of his songs. And I think we do a really cool version of it. And, you know, the first time we played it for him, we didn't tell him. He showed up at one of our shows and we decided to end the first set with it.
No.
And he like heard it And he looked up and he had a little tear in his eye.
And
he loved it. Yeah, that was really special to us.
That's killer.
But yeah, he's just been a huge influence on honestly all of our careers, anything we did musically.
And not just us, the scene in general.
Yeah, the scene in general.
He would post like on his Facebook weekly updates on gigs, and he would hand type in probably how many bands like.
Yeah, he would take 2-3 hours, whatever it might be, 4 hours, going through and looking up all the different venues, all the different people that were playing each venue, typing it all out because he cared so much
about
the Kentuckiana music scene and just people, you know, going out there and doing their thing. And like he really, really cared about that. And that's one of the biggest influences that we have besides just the music is the wanting to support other people. Like it shouldn't be like it is a competition, I guess, to an extent, because there are certain things you go for, but like in reality you should be like happy and supportive of each other, and like
holy man,
we all go up together upstream, you know, like
we lift
like,
each other up,
we all rise.
That's a that is a huge legacy to leave, not only you but to the people that see that, and you guys have continued that with what you do, which is with Fuzzy Pig. I mean, you know, there is something to being said about building a community, and the competition, I think, is so internal. You know, I'm guilty of internal competition and this and that. But at the end of the day, you are correct. If you lift each other up, you all rise to the top, and you can support each other and do those things and build that community and make each other better. You know, I like, what is it? Iron sharpens iron. Did they say shit like that? Yeah. Something like that.
Some people said that.
Somewhere somebody said something like that.
No, I've heard that.
You know, and it's true, because I think you can, healthy competition is like, I love this band. I want to be as good as them.
Exactly. Yes. We are so blessed to play with so many awesome artists all the time.
Totally,
we just played that Moon Shadow Festival. Oh, Shout out to Donald Vish. We're gonna promote some shit for a second. Shout out to Donald Vish. Shout out to Lisa Vish. Shout out to Star and Shane. They just threw an awesome festival out there.
It was amazing.
It was amazing. But to what you were speaking about, Neil, like, We were on the same night as Blind Feline, as Oliver.
Love Ollie.
Ollie is the man. The man. We all love Ollie.
Yeah.
And what a monster. But
Justin. Elements. And
Villamere was playing on that same lineup.
Villamere, dude.
Complete Monsters. Doom Gong. I mean, literally melted my mind. Hot Brown Smackdown.
What were they wearing? Were they all wearing blue
jeans? You know what they were
wearing. Blue jeans?
Yes, they were.
They're killing it, dude.
Yeah. It was so 3D. I thought, you know, like, I was like, wow, this is like Technicolor, man.
Yes.
I mean, two drummers, one kit. But I don't need to go down the Doom Gong rabbit hole. We'll be here for a whole another hour. But all to say, like, seeing all this incredible music pumps me up. And then it makes me happy for, like, I get to play with these people that I consider friends and colleagues. But also, I'm like, I want to go home and practice some fucking guitar.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I want to be worthy to play on the stage with these same people and to like show up for our friends who are there to see us, you know?
No doubt.
You know, so it's all a thing. I feel like the healthier form of that thing.
No doubt. That's the way to, all right. And before we go too far, what I do want to do is take a second. I know on, Instagram, there's, what is it, Music 502? Is it something like that that has the weekly post?
I think it's just Louisville Music.
It's the best resource for exactly what your dad did. It is, I don't know if people submit or if they're looking for it or what it is.
Both.
It's kind of a bit of both. But, you know, I've even DM'd whoever it is, run that and said, hey, I just want you to know this is an awesome service that you're doing.
I find shows like that all the time. Yeah. Like my wife will be like, what's going on this weekend? And I'll be like, well, let me check. And
I know exactly where to look.
The shows.
Yeah.
And,
hell yeah. So, I didn't know that existed. I used to know about Do 502 was the thing I checked back in the day, but
I
don't know.
Yeah, Do 502 feels like a little bit more corporate-ish.
Yeah, so like, I wanted to get that feeling this, and kind of got away from
this
it.
This is your pop, dude. This is exactly what that is. This is somebody who is just putting it out there. They don't do it for money. They just do it because they're like, live music is cool and original music is awesome. And these are live music people playing stuff. And here's some, it's awesome. I know that, you know, the last few times I've played, I've been in it. Earl's in there a lot. Anytime, it's such a great resource.
You should check it out for sure. Every week they post it. It's like day by day. It's like, and it's tons of shows. I'm going to use this because
I've been looking for something like that because I'm not on social media so much.
We need to remember to tag them in the feed.
Yeah, definitely. But
yeah, man. I also wanted to like always shout out the Monarch. Monarch, we just did
for sure. We love the Monarch.
We just did our third Top Hill Takeover at the Monarch, and they're always the best. But even beyond them, there are so many people like you guys, so we'll just talk about you guys right now. But, you know, you talked about Moonshad. About Moonshad, and there's so many places and people that are promoting this original music thing that's going on in Louisville, Kentucky.
Like little festivals. That's the coolest. That's where I met you.
I remember you at Swarptober.
Yeah.
You and Casey and like running into you guys. I was like, those are cool dudes. And I'm like, I didn't even know because I wasn't part of that open mic scene so much. And I'm like, wait, this guy's like an awesome singer and songwriter too. And then Casey's like killing the bass, you know, I'm just like, wow, just everybody, you know, it's so cool to see so many talented people all doing a different variation on the, you know, like, and to lift their voices up together is so cool. And the thing is, you can ride the rail at these small festivals in a way that you can at some of these big places. They're like, that's my buddy up there melting my face, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. That's like I said, I met you at Swarptober and I've mentioned it on this podcast before, but like I saw Cody Lee Meese that weekend.
Oh my God.
Blew
dude.
Everyone's like faces away.
I was walking up to the stage and I was like, Eric and I thought it was like.
Thought it was the recording of Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Yeah. And I heard him do something different. I'm like, oh no. Because we were playing Saturday Night Last. I was like, we might need to step our game up a little bit. Yeah, like, what the fuck?
Speaking on that, I listened to the, you know, Elements of Sound on the way here. Just kind of get an idea. And Jared mentioned like smoking cigarettes is cool. That was me. Yeah. Me and him, when we saw, you know, Cody, we're like, fuck, we need to be smoking.
Also, yeah. Dylan Ford from Blind Feline makes a cigarette look really freaking good.
Who does?
Shout out to Dylan. Dylan from Blind Feline might be the coolest dude around. I think that every time I watch him play bass.
Oh, dude.
But, yeah.
There's some ultimately cool about bass players in general. When you you guys switch it around, so it's like you gotta step up your coolness, and you did. I don't know how you did it, but you're cool enough to be a bass player too. You know, I've heard the shittiest jokes I've ever heard in my life have always come from bass players.
Yeah. They're thinking about the groove. They're not thinking about, you know, being funny.
And they're thinking about the pocket.
Think about the pocket.
Always in the pocket, dude.
Yeah, they're always getting caught like that, you know.
All right, so let's talk about Fuzzy Pig a little bit from the beginning.
Yeah,
how in the world did you guys start this entire thing?
Take it
when a galaxy far, far away, there was a man the mothership Led Zeppelin, and I'll take it from here.
This is more on me.
It's very on him.
Y'all ever heard of like Brady Evan?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
Brady's been on the podcast.
Oh, cool.
He's a good buddy.
I didn't even know it. Cool.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, he's
like one of my best friends.
If not, you should have him because he kills.
It may have been.
He needs to get
right
back
after
on.
COVID.
He's got different. I think he's got some new songs.
Brady's on TikTok like a mother.
He really is on TikTok.
Yeah, shout out Brady Evan.
Yeah,
22 on TikTok, I think, or Instagram, whatever it is.
For me, Brady's like he blows my mind. He is a jukebox.
He is.
He's one of those dudes. It's like, hey, play a song. He's like, here you go. Plays it.
Songwriting machine. Just bounce. You know?
I went over the other night. He's like, yeah, I've been working on this list of songs I know for 3 days. It's just like on the notes on your iPhone. And I went through it. Scrolls. He goes, yeah, I know every word. I can play all of them. Probably 200 songs. And he's like, I'm probably forgetting a lot of them.
I hope so.
And I said,
doing bad.
You know, it's cool because I said, like, how the hell did you do that? You know, like, I know like 3 songs. Can't remember lyrics for shit.
We played four today. So, damn, you were really.
He said something about I don't know if he showed up and played a gig with his iPad or, you know, lyrics. And I guess his grandpa was a good musician too. And his grandpa kind of called him slow for reading on his iPad.
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
He said, if you're going to be
a real musician, you better learn the fucking words. And he said ever since then.
Well, what about Brady, though, and Fuzzy Pig?
Oh, yeah, yeah, Brady and Fuzzy Pig. Oh, yeah, so... So we went on a camping trip.
2018? Was it
2018? 2019, I think. We went on a camp trip out to my place. I bought it while I was in the Air Force, just, you know, wood.
One of those extra money things. I got a place to just.
Well, instead of blowing it on booze and strippers.
Well, part of that's already happened.
The rest, though, you mean the
somebody
rest?
Somebody goes that way, some goes that way. Yeah. You know, we. I bought some land, but that's when you could afford it and it was,
yeah,
you know, reasonable. Now yeah, you can't do that.
Hell but, no.
Yeah, so we went on a camping trip and we went to take some shrooms, you know.
Oh, okay.
And we both never really messed with them. We put on like 4 hours of Led Zeppelin and just sat out there by a campfire. And yeah, we were like, let's start a music festival.
Literally,
like a spore in your mind.
That was the idea that came from it. So
a spore in your
we're just out there camping, you know, and we had lights going and. Oh, it was a fun first experience with it, and yeah, and then now Fuzzy Pig's a
fourth year.
So what? All right, now you. It's a big.
We're kind of skipping around.
Yeah,
here,
we're skipping because like once you know the mushroom trip wore off and you had the conversation.
Love the context of that.
A lot of people have had that conversation similar about all the things they're going to do once they're on, you know, on mushrooms. But then once the mushrooms wear off, you go, I'm just going to go back to work tomorrow. And everything else is back to, you know, so like, how far away was it from that conversation to, all right, well, this has happened. Was it within the same like year?
It was probably in the fall of, we started Fuzzy Pig in 21.
Yeah, so it was the fall of 2020.
Fall of 2020.
So the next year, you literally got it.
And
you cleared the land, built the stage with his dad. we got a generator out there. We got a day worth of bands. And I camped with Colin and Kendra out in like freezing weather. And I don't know why I did that. I about froze to death. But like, she fixed me a great, I mean, Kendra made a great breakfast the next morning.
Worth it.
About like how many people about their first year? Oh, about 80
like
people.
100, I think 100-ish.
It was just a big old field party, basically.
Reasonable.
That's a, I mean.
That's a good time.
That's a lot of people for a first time festival. It really is. Like,
We had good bands, luckily. So you know,
I think for me, what it was, you know, like the drunk ideas. You know, you're at the bar and you got all these cool ideas, and the next day you're like, well, you know, we got closer to like, I think we got like seven bands, artists, you know, for the first year, and it got close to time, and I was just like, I don't know about this, and I had one band was like, yeah, we've invited everybody, They basically gave me a deadline. They're like, you can't move it. You can't do it. Like, there's people coming out. And so that gave me the push to be like, all right, this is fucking happening. And so it happened.
There's also some people that like to tell Ryan that it wasn't going to be anything special, that it was just going to be a little party out in the field. And that got him a little riled up to go out there and make sure that it was better than what people were expecting it that it was going to be.
Yeah, it's like, okay, this is better than just like a field party.
I'm petty. I'm very petty. so, you know, like, I'm going to overdo some shit. Like,
you know. But then, like, fast forward next year, we have like 2 days full of music. And I think we had like about 350 people out there, you know, like, I was like, whoa.
That's a lot of people.
Good Lord. So it's just been kind of growing as we go along. And like, it just becomes a fun place to hang out for our friends that we look forward to doing.
Yeah.
We have so many awesome bands that most of the people we know, because we're out there gigging. Most of the people that are on this festival are people we've played with and that we think would be good for, because we can curate it that way. And I think that's what gives us maybe a little advantage.
I'm certain that you all have a harder time just saying, look, no, you can't play. I'm sorry. We have enough. We have too many. We got these things. Or it's just you ask and people say yes, and then you are done. But, you know, because I think that's kind of the way, I'm sure that's not the way the first year happened. I'm sure it was a little bit of like, really trying to convince some people to do some things, and then
just a lot of friends that want to do something.
Well, and they know I'm sure at this point they understand that you're going to make sure it's good. You get into the second year and third year and into this year, I'm sure like the evolution of the expectation becomes bigger and bigger every year. Does the responsibility feel bigger and bigger every year?
Yes.
It's
all on him, but like I'm watching a lot of this and I will say there's...
It's stressful. I mean, you know, it probably like with y'all communicating with bands coming in, this and that, you know, I'm dealing with between like solo artists and bands. I got like, 29-30 this year. And then vendors and
yeah, and he doesn't have any sponsors or anything like that either.
He's doing all this
because he doesn't want to be like give up, make it, you know, kind of a corporate type thing. So he hasn't really done that. So it's all his, you know, straight out of his pocket, basically.
He's done this out of his pocket. And then it,
to go from 100 people to 500 people last year,
paying people to run the gate, you know, like, well, luckily we've got a good team of like people that we do work with, like 4 Inc. Great with t-shirts, some food trucks. Mama Bees, I think, has worked with us.
Yep.
But it's been a learning experience for all of us. And we're lucky to have a group and a network of friends that are really cool. Shout out to Flash, the coolest guy ever, my old roommate, who's really... Yeah, I need to stay on top of this, baby.
Yeah. Our buddy Dustin. You know,
yeah, that's good.
Yeah, our buddy Dustin, we call him Flash. He, I do most of the work leading up to it. And like the weekend of, you know, I like to socialize and play. I still work, but Flash is the man running it, and he does a killer job. We couldn't do it without him.
Definitely.
But yeah, we just got a team of people that's came back and helped every year, and it's tricky. It's tough. There's a lot of coordination.
People have a good time, and I think that's what keeps it going.
Yeah,
you know?
and you all are
a good time. So well,
we got a keg for this year for the backstage.
Oh, shit.
We might be doing some stuff with it on stage here, yeah, so shit. We're going to try.
So it is very, very interesting. The fact that there are no sponsors is, I don't know if it's important or, but the thing that I can speak to about that is the fact that when you do it like that, it's so true. It is such a true, like, that's what we do. We don't have any, I wish we had people that would give us money so we could buy microphones. Right. And just like you guys wish that somebody would go, hey, I totally believe in what you guys are doing. It's the fourth year. I'm going to just give you $1,000. Here's $1,000. Pay that person that takes tickets so that's something you don't have to think about. Do this thing or pay. Something, you know what I mean? That you don't have to worry about selling the first ticket before, you know, because I understand how it rolls. When if you are out to people, if you say, hey, I need you to run sound and they don't go, dude, I totally believe in you. I'll do it for free. That means I'll do it for $1,000 a day. I'll do it for this. Well, okay. That means we're in the hole. How much before we open the door? What if it rains? It's an outdoor. What happens if? There are no concessions for that. It gets real difficult. So doing it on blind faith, number one, and doing it without any type of net is admirable, number one, but it also allows those musicians, the people that are around you, that see what you're doing, the people that are after the first and second year seeing how it's going, they buy into what you're doing because I think that if you aren't looking for a payoff, maybe at the end of it, there is one.
Yeah, you know? Well, the payoff is doing it. The payoff is actually playing and being there and seeing my friends play. You wouldn't do this if you wanted to make money, and Ryan could, I'm sure, attest to that. You know?
Well, but yeah, you probably wouldn't do this if you didn't say that. If your attitude wasn't that, do you even think about doing something like what?
Yeah,
you,
I mean,
because
if you were in it for the money after the first year, you'd be like, oh, well, we lost some fucking money, like that's the end of it. And instead of that, it's like, no, like this is a cool thing. Like we talked before the podcast, you gave us posters of the lineup. I mean, the lineup is killer. This year, I'm very happy you asked me to be part of it. Like,
oh, without a doubt, very excited.
It's a cool thing. Like I said, you all are a good hang. Yeah,
shout out Daryl Bowman, he will be there.
Yeah.
Rocking
and
out.
What y'all are doing is, I love little festivals. Like I said, met you at a little festival. I feel like the less corporate a thing can be,
the cleaner it is.
It's a pure thing and it's more fun. I mean, I love, like, I've gone to Bonnaroo and I've gone to like Bourbon and Beyond and these like big festivals, but there's something, that festival I went and met you at, one of the coolest things. I'll never forget that weekend.
Super influential. So, one of my favorite gigs I've ever been a part of.
There's a lot I don't remember about that weekend, but I will never forget.
Yeah, it turns out, yeah, I was like, shout out to Donald Vish again. And we'll leave it at that.
But you know, no, you're right. The money part of it, like, it matters, but it doesn't. Like, it's, you know, you got something you love to do, like, love music. I love my friends playing music, like, let's little party. And it's gotten bigger, but that's what it's about.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of partying, man, I mean, this guy, I don't even think, you know, he's running this thing. Last year, we're about to go on, and I like see him right before. I was like, let's do this thing, man. You know, the general kind of festival, like, you know, thing. I'm like, he looked a little, like, slurry, but, you know, I'm sure it's fine. I've been there before. We've had gigs like that. You get on stage, I'm like, I don't know. He's playing guitar, but it seems good. But, like, but he sits behind the kit.
And lights out,
man. Dude, I didn't see his eyes open the rest of the set. And there was certain songs we asked, like, can we do this? He's like, no. But like a clock, the rest of the set, you saw this man pure focus. Like, I don't know what he was doing.
Here's what it was. He probably was stone cold sober. He was just exhausted. That was the only time that he wasn't being asked.
That's exactly what it was.
Was that the case?
Yeah, exactly.
With you, I've done some things in my life to where I'm kind of the guy. You know, hey, all the questions.
Oh, you are.
You.
Can I get your phone number?
You know, no, I gave them all up because I don't want to be like that. But I know where you're at. You know, like example, I used to run a youth league. There were 250 kids, a ton of teams, a million balls in the air. And yesterday I was driving to work and I saw that yesterday was youth league day for everybody. They're all doing their parades. They were doing stuff. I think a couple of you guys have kids. If you haven't been there yet, you're getting ready to be, where you do all this stuff and go through all, you know, the cool parent stuff. It's fun. It's awesome. But when you're the person that's in charge of that, if like I was also a coach. So when I was, I actually had to go on the field and be a coach. So for like that hour and a half, nobody could ask me a question. They couldn't ask me like, the Coke needs to be changed. Where is it? How do I do it? Hey, this person asked this question. So exhausting after the end of the day. So, but I could imagine for that time, you're like, dude, if I could, I'm going to take a nap while I play these drums because this is the only time I'm going to get.
We do that all the time. So I guess,
I could imagine.
I think the Bush Light might have got me too.
But I mean, we play so often. We're pretty religious. Like there's weeks we take off, but pretty religious about once or twice a week for like 5 years, you know, being friends. Like, so it was cool. It was kind of inspirational to me in a way because I'm like, wow, he's at really tight right now. You know, like he's not doing any fancy drum fills, but like, I think he's like 50% unconscious, man. But he's not messing up. And like, I might be messing up more than him. Dude. And I got no excuse. So, but you got to be able to have fun like that so you can focus on the other stuff of the weekend because it's at the point now where it's, we got to be a little bit more observant about like everything that's going on. There's so much, you know, stuff. So you're set. It's almost like, okay, well, we do this all the time. That's not a concern. You know, we're going to practice for it. But like, really, I think the attention goes to making sure everything goes smooth for everybody else because it's more than just you at that point.
Yeah, man.
You
know?
Yeah. And I guess another thing, like a lot of my friends, family, even people have nothing to do with music, have, you know, really been into it and have helped so much. And like, they deserve, that's key. You know, like my dad in particular, he's very good at building stuff, like the stage. Like, you know, you mentioned turning people down. Like we had the one stage last year. It's hard to get acoustic acts when you could do a full band.
How many stages did you got?
Well, we're calling it two this year, but basically I built a pole barn for, you know, my equipment and stuff, but my dad was on that. So we're going to leave the front open and rig something up for the, you know, the more acoustic stuff.
And then we have the main stage too. And that's going to, you know, it's just as we go along, it just kind of evolves, you know. We're going to got ideas about Fuzzy Five that we're thinking about, but it's just like, you just got to gradually expand. Parking has been the biggest, I guess.
Yeah, parking's hard to do. It's just, I'm in the woods, I'm on a hillside. It takes a lot to put in a driveway.
Yeah. I don't know, a lot of people. That's a lot of cars. I mean, you should be really proud, like, to go literally a shroom trip idea that so many people have had to now you got two stages and you're like, where the fuck are these people going to park? Like, that is really cool. And like,
yeah, think about
it. It's a good problem.
It is really a cool thing. Like,
that is nuts.
It is nuts. Like, it's not a backyard party. Like, y'all mentioned, like, I mean, there's vendors there. It's not just a campfire. Like,
rumor has it there may be a podcast.
Yeah.
That's true.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, that would be cooler if we did.
Yeah. We want it to happen.
We would love that. Man,
I'd love that. Really cool touch for it.
This is kind of
real as it gets right here. One mic, one song. Yeah, you know, dude. So
we're in, man. I'm totally committed. I think it would be cool to get down there and bring the RV, set it up, hang out with the vendor, chill out, and get our friends in. Because, you know, the biggest, what I love about this amazing lineup is not only, I look at it and see half of it's been on our podcast. We got a couple people that haven't been on that are coming on, which means I'm going to totally want to see the rest of it, because if you all like it, I'm going to like it. They've obviously we mix here, you know, and I think that is another cool part about the community that is being built by you guys, by the Monarch, by the Louisville Music Instagram pages, hopefully by us in some way, that somebody sees this and goes, oh, cool, I love Blind Feline and Frustration. I'm going to go. And then they become fans of 15 other bands because of you guys.
That's the point.
Creating this lineup for that started as an idea about a backyard, you know, it's sometimes you got to step back, because when you're looking at
what I was touching on, like, yeah, I mean, because it's a cool thing. Like, a lot of people have these ideas, like, we've all had these high ideas and you're like, this is the coolest shit. And then later you're like, well, that's not going to really work out. That's, but this
logistically,
is
logistically,
it's not going to work. Yeah. And this is something that you sunk your money into. Like, it's your time. And like, time is really valuable. Like, and I know how much time you have to have spent on this. I mean, I've messaged you about the festival a little bit. I'm sure there's bunches of people that have sent you messages. You're figuring everything out. Like, I hope you do step back.
I hope you buy more land.
But hopefully at some point during the festival, that'd you step cool. back and you can like take in what a cool thing that you're doing. Like, all of y'all really.
Take it.
And, Ryan's driving the ship, but we all try to help out. You know, it's really a network of friends, but I can't emphasize enough how much Ryan Smith has done to make this happen.
Ryan was about 10 minutes after you guys because he was working.
Like,
he was
normal.
Busy. He was busy. Well, I mean,
yeah. I can't say anything.
I really do want to emphasize, and I think it's important for you guys to do that. Ryan, maybe especially you on this end, to at the end of this, when Fuzzy Pig 4 wraps up, I don't know if you ever give yourself a second to take a step back and go, holy shit, because it is important. It is important, man. It really is. You know, I think what you guys have created here is you know, Todd would be proud. You know, he was a supporter.
We're actually going to be putting his name up on the stage there at Fuzzy Pig. Brady actually showed us that.
That'd be another tier. You know, as a dad, you know, it would be another tier watching you guys succeed. But not only succeed in a way that, hey, it's cool that you guys put out some really good music and create this vibe, but that you're trying to do something positive. You're building something that really, to this point, hasn't made you rich. It doesn't make you day, but it builds such a solid foundation for musicians and bands and the community.
Little festivals are so important. They're my favorite ones to go to. Like, I mean,
community, man.
It is a community. It's not this big corporate thing where you're walking past all these booths where people are trying to get you to do dip and all this shit. Like, oh, I was like, come into the dip tent. I'm like, I'm too fucked up to go into the dip tent.
All right, maybe like, after another joint, I'll check it out. But.
It's cool. I mean, like I said, I met you at a little festival. Like, little festivals, and it's becoming more than a little festival, but it is still like, you know what I mean? Like,
we wanted to always have that kind of homegrown feel.
That's how it should be.
When there's little kids out there, like, I didn't start playing music till I was about 15 or 16, and I played Guitar Hero, and it's like, I played War Pigs. I'm like, you know what? Playing guitar, I never thought I'd be a person to play music, but I was like, maybe playing guitar would be pretty freaking cool.
Did you, like, slid right into it? Look at you with the big beard and hair.
My dad was the sheriff of our county for about 8 years. So
he arrested hippies like you, my man.
Well, I'm about to spend some time in the county jail, but I'll say that. But,
Eric, you know, 66% of the band has.
But that's another reason Todd like almost felt like another dad to me, man. It's like this whole nother thing. I love my dad, truly. He's an incredible man, of course. But Todd was like, it was a whole different experience when I go over there and play video games. And just, it's like, man, your dad's written like over 200 songs. And some of them are like classically good, just amazing. Like, they're all good. And some of them are like just straight hits, classic. I put them up there against almost any song, really. And it was cool to see that and talk to him. And like, I didn't have that when I was younger necessarily. Like, my parents were big music lovers, but they weren't really musicians. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really, like I said, to get into that. But to see little kids out there dancing and watching the music and kind of see the next generation, you know, like, hopefully some sort of music love gets seeded in this crowd. I mean, hopefully the kids do whatever they want and succeed at it. But I would love to see the next generation of musicians kind of flourish in this area. And hopefully we play a small part in that for them coming out and seeing stuff, especially in the local community in Milltown, way out there. It's like, when are they going to get to see some of these top regional acts? I mean, we have some really, really cool acts coming out there.
Really good.
Everybody
acts
on this lineup, I think we're all happy, very happy with. So it's like, it's cool to see that people of all ages having a good time, and you can get rowdy, but you can do it, you know, like the right way and
respectfully.
Yeah.
Hey, and if you can't, go relax somewhere.
Go
over
relax.
There
exactly.
Well, there's other rooms. Yeah. Go yeah. other places.
Set up a hammock, man. You got nothing but time. Listen to some tunes.
Yeah. That's one of my favorite things about it. Just making like a family friendly thing.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Because like, man, when I was under 21, I remember all these shows that I couldn't go to, and just being pissed off, like, gosh damn, it's 21 only, I can't go see so-and-so.
I feel that.
Yeah, so like, some of my earliest concerts were The Boat over in Indiana.
Yeah,
they used to, it was 21 only, but we go sit on the parking garage because you could see half the stage. So me and my cousin, we would go.
John?
Yeah, me and cousin John.
Our boss.
No.
Our boss.
Shout out to John.
Shout out to John.
Did you watch the Dirk Bentley concert?
No.
I was going to say, man, I had pretty good seats. I left. It was terrible.
He's got a killer banjo player, man. I don't know who's playing banjo with that guy.
I don't know if he was too deep into something or other, but he was terrible.
Off.
He was terrible.
Really?
Yeah, me and my wife, man, we were like, let's go. It's terrible.
That's crazy.
It's garbage.
Yeah. No, they year or two, because his dad would drive us out, and we'd sit in the corner of the top parking garage, sitting at George Thorogood, Stone Temple Pilots, Alice Cooper. Huh. Like, Boston was there.
No shit.
That's
versatility.
I wish I knew you back then. Damn, man. Fuck.
You know, that's the bands we were into growing up. Like,
Stone Temple Pilots, man. Oh, dude.
Oh, yeah. He climbed up the rafters and screamed that megaphone.
Scott Weiland. Dude, shout out to Tiny Music, man. What a good album.
Yeah. I will never, ever do heroin or ever done it, but I mean, you know,
wait, we shout out heroin right now?
I did. You said Scott Weiland, said shout out heroin, man.
Yeah, like, I mean, you got to. It called a lot of the grunge crowd, I will say that.
Yeah,
man,
yeah. That was a sad thing. Terrible. I apologize.
It is what it is, man. You can cry about it, or you can kind of laugh and be like, oh,
like Alex Chase, one of my favorite musicians in the world.
I know. It's so sad to think, you know.
I saw something cool, like a Facebook reel yesterday. Stone Temple Pilots, you know that Dead and Bloated?
Oh, yes. I know what you're talking about. Say it yet.
He sang the intro to that song to guitar pickups.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
just feeling like it. Yeah, dude.
Oh, that's cool. Oh, yeah. That's had, really cool.
It had to have been through a Les Paul.
I think it was a Les Paul.
Those micro. Oh, those hot ones,
the best
man.
Guitar.
Hey, you were saying something.
Negative.
On the stage.
Negative. You're not
going to
slip that in, dude. Les Pauls suck. They weigh too much.
Don't you dare come from my Les Paul.
He was saying some nice stuff about a Strat last night, and he told me I was supposed to be told this too
secret,
much.
But
let's just say Strats are pretty nice.
Les Pauls make good firewood. Their pickups, their pickups are great.
Hey,
whatever.
Double cut and SGs are monsters.
SGs,
and we gotta explore
those
the kills
because they got too much neck. It freaks me out. I can't take them.
You know, it's like, dude, I don't know, man. Dude, I love them.
I'm with you
on the Les Pauls. I love the way people sound on them, but I can never get them to work for me. He does pretty
Les
good
Pauls.
On a Les Paul.
I mean, don't get me wrong. They sound nice.
They're great.
They're
guys.
Amazing. And I love a Gibson acoustic. I love a J200 or a J45. Don't get me wrong.
This man likes
you can keep
Jeff
your
Tweedy.
47-pound Gibson Les Paul all day. Give me a Strat.
Yeah. Hey, I guess our main guitar is a Gibson Explorer.
Give me a Telecaster. Yeah.
Roxy.
Actually.
We call it Roxy.
Roxy.
Man, that
3X
thing.
Is triple X.
Yeah, Roxy or Sting. The
yeah,
Strat.
Sting is a Strat. Those have been our main ones. We switch them in and out, but that Strat and that Explorer, okay, when you need a little bit more spank, we go the Strat, you know, certain things. Eric typically goes, dude, that Explorer, rip your head clean off, man. Just a Shred Factory.
One of my favorite is the old 335, man. Yeah. I got to say that Gibson 335 is a monster.
It is. Yeah. I love that.
Sounds so sweet.
I'm just a Les Paul hater for life.
You're speaking my language, brother.
Too heavy, man. It's just... Well,
you definitely don't need to play bass on a jazz bass, man.
I'm going to sit down. I'm going to sit when I play the bass.
That's shit. It's like
one, two, three.
Stone on your arm, man. Albatross.
This is my bass sitting. I can sit and play
bass. It's bad enough to play bass in general, but to be that heavy, it's like they're really trying to throw you through the fucking ninth circle here, aren't they? Shout out to I love bass, you know.
Shout out to playing some bass.
Shout out to Colin.
Lemire. Also runs Enchanted. Does he still run Enchanted Forest?
Yes.
He's a complete monster in every facet. But we have a sticker of him that we had a Fuzzy Pick 3 or 2, I think. Somebody printed out a picture of his face in a bird mask. And I put it right over there, looking at where my fingers would rest playing the bass. I'm like, okay, so you can detail my right hand technique and tell.
Yeah, he's still there.
He's
so
always
you, if you look at the
us,
footage,
yeah.
You can see his little face on the bass.
He is on that. You know, shout out to Colin there,
man. They're
one of my favorite bass players. Villamere is. They're set at Moonshadow was. It was transcendent. I will have to say.
You know what? I will say. I do believe, and probably because, you know, they just had the kid. So, I mean, that takes a little bit of, you got to have a little bit of, they're not talked about enough.
Bill not at all.
Not talked about
they
enough
should be
because they are so good.
Insane. My buddy Ethan, who I was in my last band with, is their drummer.
Okay, yeah.
Maybe the best musician I've ever met. He's so insane.
Ethan
and they're
wasn't
all
with
so
them.
Good. I
Ethan
mean, it's
wasn't
crazy.
With them when they were on the podcast. So, we got to get them back with
they're,
Ethan on the podcast.
You need to get Ethan.
But man,
he's a monster.
All three of them are
they're
just
saucy
great
as
people,
hell,
and
they're so good.
Not talked about enough, for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure. And there's a lot of bands like that, but them in particular.
I was going to say, man, you know, I could say that about you guys. I could say that about Earl. I could say that about a lot of bands that come through here. There's so much talent. There's so many. That's why I love this lineup, because I think you guys address a lot of that. I think you guys kind of have found, you know, the elements of sound and the Blind Felines, which, you know, Blind Feline gets some play, but more people should know Blind Feline.
No, both them and Elements, man. They're both incredible bands. Justin's one of the best singers I've ever met, man.
Justin's like, crazy. I mean,
crazy. Yeah, I mean, so all awesome. Those guys are great musicians.
This guy right here, of course.
Earl.
Yeah,
Spencer will be with him playing guitar. Nick Teal.
Heck yeah.
Who's ridiculous. You know,
monster.
I can't wait to like watch Digitronic. I can't wait to watch Grudge. There's so much that I can't wait to watch. Sad Black Lab, who's going to be on here, actually, like a couple weeks after... That we may have them on the remote RV cast.
That sounds
know?
Like a
so
treat
we'll
right there, man. Before, oh, my gothic beauty. I mean, just straight up.
Yeah, man. before we leave, just a big shout out to you guys for what you are doing, because it is big. It's huge. It's important. I know we kind of got away from the music, which is I can't speak enough about, because we started there. We started with the vibe that you guys created. And I think that maybe sometimes Fuzzy Pig kind of overshadows what you do as a band, because it's also one of those things, like, you all don't get enough recognition for what you're doing as musicians. And I totally feel that. So also take time to play, take time to get out there, take time to get yourself out there. And I hope that, you know, not only do we help promote the Fuzzy Pig, but we also help you guys get a kind of foothold, because I think you guys are spectacular musicians. I think the vibe you create and the songs you write and the landscape that you create with what you guys do is awesome. So big time thank you for coming on. Before we leave, we definitely got to ask where people can find you, where they can get tickets to the festival, where they can find your music, all those things. Please speak to before we get out of here.
I'm going to talk first real quick and just say we are working on recording our first full-length studio album, and we just did all the tracking over at Colin Lemire's house, and we've been talking about.
Right on.
Over at Chalet, Lemire here. I don't know what their studio name is, but I'm doing a little side project with them too. But we just did all the skeleton tracking. We're about to start overdubbing at Eric's, so hopefully by Fuzzy 5, we have a full album out for y'all. So as a band, we're very excited about that. We're going to be trying to work tirelessly on that. So, but I'll leave it to Ryan and Eric to kind of finish up.
Say, do y'all want to stream it or do you want to play it on a vinyl?
Ooh.
Yeah. We're thinking about doing a vinyl.
We want to do vinyls.
I'm definitely going to have a vinyl. I've got three vinyl records. I got three records.
Go big with everything. It's kind of like the festival. Like,
yeah, I mean, come on. Like, wait. Let me just say this. So, there's no way you're going to do a vinyl, Ryan.
Okay. That's all it really takes.
Tell this man he can't do something and give him a case of Bush Light and watch him prove you wrong. I've seen it many times.
I didn't know about that, but I'll bring the Bush Light later. You can't do the vinyl. There's no way.
Ryan. Not at all.
But yeah, we're on all the streaming platforms out there. We use the DiscoKid, so everything's on there. Spotify, Apple Music, whatever else is out there. Frustration, if you look us up, we're on there. We've got an old EP that we did before we even ever played our first show that we recorded, and then we've got the EP we got like another little live EP from Gravely when we played there.
Oh yeah, shout out to Nate, Justin's drummer.
Nate
is awesome.
Nate's a good dude, man.
Nate is awesome.
Nate is in the pocket all the time.
He's one of the coolest guys I know.
In the back,
he's a quiet assassin, dude.
There's a lot of Matt from Doomgong and Blind Feline. I think about him for that too.
Griff.
Yeah. Oh,
Griff, my dude. He's awesome.
He's just right there in your neck.
He's
right when he needs to. You know.
He's I love that guy. I love those guys.
But we're on Frustration on Facebook. Where else are we at?
And we got
Fuzzy Pig Fest.
Yeah, frustration.com, fuzzypigfest.com.
Our buddy Flash made that for us. And once again, shout out to Flash again.
But yeah, all information for Fuzzy Pig is on fuzzypigfest.com. Is there tickets? Can you buy beforehand, or is all at the gate?
It's at the door.
At the door.
Okay. I don't think it's cash. Is it cash only?
Cash only.
But it is the 26th and the 27th, so the end of April, right between Derby and Thunder. So if you're looking for something to do that weekend, I think for the price, and you really, it's hard to beat, you know?
The cool thing about it, like, money-wise, it's... not the smartest thing, but like just throughout the year, just someone at the bar coming up that I know or whoever just being like, I had so much fun that weekend. It was highlight of my year, you know, stuff like that. It's what it means.
Yeah, people getting to see all these other bands that they've never heard of that come out to Milltown, Indiana.
You know,
give a shout out to Awful Eddie.
Awful Eddie, young guys coming up.
They were just kind of starting a band, and they camped right by the stage, the whole band. They camped by the stage. And after that weekend last year, they're like, we need to get on it. And now they're out there.
They're playing this year. They got right on it.
And I watched them in Corden, Indiana play. And I was like, you guys ought to play. So they were super stoked about it. I'm super excited to see them play.
That's a new generation.
Cool inspiration. It was just they're pumped up about it. And it's kind of like the kick they had to be like, we need to do this. Like, look at all these guys.
That's got
to
be so pretty awesome.
It's cool.
Knowing those kids were sleeping by the stage a few years ago, hoping, you know, someday, like.
They're ones to watch, man. But, I mean, there's a lot of ones to watch around here. I'll say that. And hopefully we have a good amount of them out there at this festival. So.
Well, before we the ticket price, what is the ticket price? If you is it daily or do you do weekend passes?
Yeah, I'm doing daily this year is 20 per day.
You're
30
crazy.
For the weekend.
Insane.
And then $20 a camp, and that's per tent or hammock. So you come by yourself for the weekend, want to put a tent up, $50.
Is there a parking fee this year? We're trying to encourage people to carpool. So we'd like to emphasize this.
You really should carpool.
We're trying to get people to carpool because, you know, one person showing
you
up.
Could, all right, this is just a stupid suggestion because you pulled up and saw the yard and we thought about doing something and there's obviously limited parking. So what if you did like, all right, it's $20 a day or $50 a carload? Because that would encourage people to be like, all right, we'll pull four people in the car. You're going to lose a little bit of money, $60, $70 a carload. So you save $10, but you get four people in a car instead of two people in a car.
We might have to work
number
a little bit. But like,
maybe
$100
a car. Like
not even $100, but like just
something a carload.
But that's a good idea. Yeah.
More people to ride together to save, because people save $10 cash, especially if they're knowing it's cash.
Something we got to stay on
money
top
for
of.
Beer.
It's,
I don't know.
Last year, we were cleared more parking this year, but it's just like, that's always been like almost the limiting reactant, you know, is the parking, is like getting that situation squared away. Strangely, you wouldn't think so with all the other considerations, but that seems pretty smooth. It's the parking.
Because you can go, all right, we can have 700 people with 200 cars, or we can have 200 people with 200 cars. We really need you all to think about this because we've got 200 spaces, you know, or whatever, you know, because that's something that we've thought about is like, how would we do it if we, because we've got, say, 100 spots to park people, would we do it by carload? Because if they're paying $100 a car, one person doesn't want to pay $100. They're going to go, well, then we'll just bring four people. That's $25 a piece. Sweet, $100 car, we'll all just ride together. So, I don't know. That probably all needs, that's just inside baseball stuff. I don't know, but.
it's tricky.
Once y'all figure it out, let me know because we got to figure something out.
Yeah, we'll get together on it.
We'll figure it out.
Bring over another bottle, maybe.
There you go.
Some other
two
stuff,
next
dude.
Time. I think we finished that last one about an hour ago.
Yeah, I know. We might have underestimated our appetites here.
How we do things.
All right. Well, before we leave, I've got to say, make sure you check out Earl Bowman Music on Spotify, also on Instagram. Spencer Corbin Customs for his luthier work. Also, please subscribe to Top Hill Recording Podcast on YouTube, Top Hill Recording Podcast on Instagram. Shout out to Brad Weston for the new swag on these microphones. Ooh. Speaking of best swag in the game, frustration, you guys. So make sure that you all do those things that you need to. Get some stickers. I think that one was upside down. There you go. Now it's fixed. Get some shirts. Do those things. Bring cash out to Fuzzy Pig because there is going to be a vendor truck. There's also going to be, which I don't know how the food truck works. They may have Venmo, but just bring cash to be prepared. Check out the website for details. But also, again, make sure you subscribe to Frustration, Fuzzy Pig, Earl Bowman, Spencer Corbin Customs, and Top Hill Recording Podcast. And we'll see y'all next time.
Can I shout out my...
Please do.
My fiance, Brittany Reese, she was going to be here today, but she ended up going hiking with her buddy, but I just want to shout her out.
Of course, she was well, you sound like you're sick.
I don't want to be hanging out with you.
I'm not going to chill out in the room with you.
Yeah, he hasn't recovered from last week.
Shout out to my wife, Casey. Love you. Man. And my son, Walker.
Walker. Is his middle name Texas Ranger, like on
it's actually Texas. Atlas.
Walker Atlas cool. Rhodes. Think about how awesome that name is. He's destined to be like the third in the line. You
that's
know?
A lot of expectations
you're
in
right.
that name, my man.
That's what I'm saying. But shout out again to Moonshadow too. Like I still, my voice still had, that's the reason there ain't no harmonies on these songs. You guys know how to party.
Ryan, we're not leaving without you shouting somebody out, man.
Oh, let's
Mullets
shout
of
out.
America.
Let's shout out everyone that's helped me with Fuzzy Pig, my dad especially,
Pop sounds like the dude.
He's
Pop
on it.
Pop sounds like the dude.
It wouldn't happen without him.
That's what it sounds like.
You know, the guys behind the scenes are...
You know what? Of all the bands and things that I want to see and all the things that I want to do when we head up to Fuzzy Pig and hang out, the number one thing I want to do is meet your dad.
He'll be on a horse.
I'll find it.
We got a whole horse ride to come through.
I'll probably find that guy. So I'll be sure to say hello.
We got a group of 10, 20 that ride horses out every year.
God damn it. So point them out, would you? Could you do that for me?
They'll be coming over. The battle of Helm's Deep is happening. They'll be cresting the hill.
Yeah, you want to get them excited, slap that horse on the ass.
Get them excited, put some taps in their water. Not encouraging that.
Just everyone has helped, and it's cool to see it, you know, happen again. So,
all right, we'll make sure to take a week off after this last one before we get to Fuzzy Pig 5. Till then, fellas, appreciate you.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.